We're talking today with Greg Haynes. Greg is with the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Well, you're vice president for international marketing programs, right?
Right, yep. So I've actually just got promoted to that position last year. I've been doing a lot of the programs before, but we had some changes there, new CEO. It gave me a chance to do a little bit more, so getting more involved with that on the global scale.
Well, let's talk about maybe some of the numbers and then come back and do some of, talk a little bit some of those programs that you're helping direct. We've got the January numbers out for the new year for 2019, and they seem to be a kind of a continuation of what we saw in a lot of 2018. Very, very good.
Yeah, no, definitely. Even with some of the headwinds, we've had all the trade issues, especially with some of our big markets, with USMCA, Mexico, Canada. We're not in the CPTPP with Japan. We have trade issues with China. Despite all that, our numbers are up again going into January. And last year, we finished off with the record, both in value and volume. So great year, good start, and we've got a good product. So hope to keep that momentum going.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the programs that have made the meat industry, especially beef, really successful. What are some things that you feel are really kind of been signature items for us to achieve this success?
Well, I think it really depends. Each of the international markets is a little bit different, so they all have a different demand or different cooking styles, different cuts. So I think our main objective really is to find those cuts that fit into the cooking styles, that meet the price points for each of those markets, and then make sure those buyers understand the attributes of them so that they're purchasing U.S. product and not looking to our competitors, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, or South America. So every market's got a little bit of different activities like that. But, Korea was a huge year for us last year. So in 2018, I think that had a lot to do just with some of the work we've been doing since we re-entered the market after BSE and had the protests. Just that, working with those importers and distributors, a lot of the education, but that relationship that we've been able to do and working even on the consumer side. The consumers now are not concerned about the safety of U.S. beef at all, and they understand the quality attributes, so they're selecting that over the competition now.
I know that we've pointed to that Korean market as just one of those remarkable success stories. It continues to accelerate. Even the first month of the new year, those numbers are once again up on both value and on volume. What's really connected with the Korean market?
Well, I think, the impact of BSE and when the U.S. re-entered the market, they had all these protests against that. I think that raised a lot of concerns just about the safety of beef in general, especially imported beef. So I think just the work, we've been doing and just, changes in the acceptance in the consumers there have moved them away from that. And now they're really looking for quality and consistency. There's some changes in society there. A lot of the people are getting married longer. There's a lot more single households or just double income households without children. So they're looking for convenience. They're looking for taste, quality. We really fit into those categories. And so that's where we're really trying to focus on is how do we get U.S. meat and beef into those areas and have the consumers select that over the competition. And I think there, too, we've got an advantage. We have the Korea Free Trade Agreement, so our duty rates have been going down, which makes the products much more affordable to the consumers. So now they can, try it, and they're like, hey, this is good stuff. And now it's more reasonable. We can buy it more, so they keep buying more. And again, they're buying more of ours than the competition, so I think that's really the key thing. You're seeing their per capita consumption continue to increase, and we're really getting that increase. So that for us, that's huge, and that's where we want to be.
I know that in Korea and also some of the other key markets around the globe that you've been able to do a good job of working with some of the key players in those markets, some of the key supermarket chains and other purveyors, big restaurant chains, ones in Japan, for example. As an example, at Yoshinoya.
Right.
How do you make that a success? How do you get those kind of things to come together?
Right, and that's really kind of a key strategy of ours within each of those sectors. If it's the retail or food service sectors, we try to find those areas with those leading companies that are really the bell cows, that are setting the trends and leading the rest of the companies. So those are our targets. So we work. It takes years and years, but we work to develop those relationships with them, that trust. We educate them. We bring them to the U.S. U.S. We help support promotions. So it's really a combination of a whole bunch of different activities. But I think over time, then you see the benefits of that is that they understand the quality of our product. They've got that loyalty to it. They're not price buyers, but they're like, yes, you know, this is what our consumers want. The product, safe, wholesome, delicious, reasonably priced. That's what we want. So that's kind of key for us is to set that up. You know, we've been in Japan for 42 years. We've been in Korea over 30 years. So, I mean, over that time, I think that's where you see the fruits of the labor there.
Where are we going? In other words, what's out there that you're kind of got your eye on?
Well, I think there's still huge potentials in Asia there. You know, we've seen great growth there. That's where a lot of the benefits the industry as far as growth have been coming. Japan, Korea, Taiwan, you know, we're getting seen a little bit more in Southeast Asia. China's always out there. So I think those are a lot of potentials going forward, especially if we get some of these trade deals. I think if you see something with Japan and the U.S. and we can get the same duty rates as the CPTPP countries, which include Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Mexico, I think you're going to see all beef going in there, imported beef, much cheaper, which is going to, again, do like Korea did. We saw 43% increase in the value of the product there. I think you're going to see growth like that in Japan still, even though it's our largest market. But then we're looking at other markets, too. And you've got South America, Central America. Those are all providing more opportunities as well. We're looking in areas, you know, South Africa. They're buying a lot of livers, variety meats. So there's always new markets that are popping up. So we're looking at those as well and then trying to maintain and grow these large ones.
One last question in regards to the European Union. There's been talk about that set of pounds that are available under their quotas. Originally, it was kind of intended to be for the United States, but it seems like everybody else has gotten their nose under the tent and got involved with those. Apparently, I guess we're going to be able to get some of those allocated back specifically to the U.S. Will that help us, you think, in the European Union?
I think so, because really the big challenge in the European Union now is, like you said, this quota. It gets filled quickly. It's a quarterly quota, so it gets filled, but a lot of it is filled, you know, majority is now by non-U.S. suppliers. And so the U.S. producers that are producing the non-hormone, no beta agonist beef for the EU don't have consistent demand for that. It happens at the beginning of the quota, and then it's full. It happens at the beginning of the next quarter. So there's not this, you know, each quarter they don't have the ability to really plan and adjust as easily. So if that happens and we have that set quota, we'll know that there's going to be consistent demand throughout the year, and that will help our producers be able to meet that and be more profitable for them as well. So, yeah, we're looking forward to that. Hopefully that happens soon. Not exactly sure when, but that would be another benefit to help create more demand for our product.
Well, one last question. Uh-huh. As far as a lot of your state councils, uh-huh. You know, Texas, Oklahoma,
right.
Some others as well, Kansas and Nebraska, for example, those four big players especially, uh-huh. They do some special projects. They allocate extra dollars
right.
To USMEF. How beneficial is that?
No, it's. Are you recording now?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. You recorded the question? Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, those states that you mentioned definitely are big supporters, and it's really assists the programs that we're doing in the international markets. So they'll allocate certain funding for specific programs in some of these key markets. And what we're able to do is we're able to leverage that with our government funding that we get through USDA. A lot of corn states are also contributing additional dollars, so we can leverage it with those too. And then once we're in market, you were working with these target accounts like we talked about, we want those accounts to also be, you know, have some skin in the game and to be contributing money as well. So if we get a dollar from the State Beef Council, we can add another dollar or two with U.S. government funds. We might add another dollar or two from corn states. And then so right now you're already looking at, you know, $4 or $5. Then you get into the market and then you'd want them to match it. So they add another $4 or $5. So your $1 contribution there now really has a $9 or $10 impact in the market. So it's hugely impactful for what we're doing as far as getting that word out and working with all these target accounts. So, yeah, no, we really appreciate that, you know, with what all the states are doing and nationally with the beef checkoff.